السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
عليكم السلام.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما، نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على أوصيائه وخلفائه وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين، وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى قيام يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل ولزوم أمره والاجتناب عن معصيته. قال الله تعالى في محكم كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها، قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها. آمنا بالله، صدق الله العلي العظيم.
اللهم صل على محمد.
In the health and fitness world, one of the most popular movements around is that which is known as the detox diet. And basically, what this movement entails is the removal, in order to live a healthy life, that individuals are required to remove the accumulation of harmful substances and to remove them from the food that we eat, the stress that we feel, and the various environmental toxins that surround us. This is basically the idea behind what is known as the detox diet. In a sense, we are detoxing, we are purifying our body completely and our surroundings completely. Now, when we come to Islam, we notice that Islam encourages us that in addition to taking care of our physical bodies, making sure that we are healthy, preserving our physical bodies, that we also make sure that we purify and we cleanse our souls, our spirits, and our minds. That the detox diet, if you will, within the Islamic tradition and in the Islamic understanding, is that we purify our entire existence when it comes to our physical bodies, and when it comes to our souls, our spirits, and when it comes to our minds. It's a wholesome purification. And this is why when we come to the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. And by the soul, and He who created the soul. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. And the creator of this soul inspired in it recognition, understanding of that which is good and that which is bad. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Successful is the one who is able to do what? to perform tazkiyah, the one who is able to purify the soul, to purify the spirit. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. And the one who is at loss is the one who corrupts this soul. And so when we come to the Islamic tradition, success is based on purifying one's soul. Success is based on not just purifying one's soul, but purifying one's body and one's mind also. It's a wholesome purification. And this process, the process of purification, the process of detoxification, is not something that is automatic. It's not a process that happens by itself. It's a process that requires action. It's not a passive process. It's an active process. It is one that requires willpower. It is one that requires intention. One that is performed deliberately. Otherwise, it's not an automatic process. You don't just wake up and become physically fit. In order to detoxify or detox your body, it's a specific process that you have to go through. And the same goes with our minds and with our spirits and our souls. When we look at the world that we live in, we notice that the world that we live in has various filters. There are many filters with much of the aspects of our lives. For instance, when we come to our computers, we notice that we place filters on our computers in order to do what? In order to block out or prevent viruses from entering into our computers, right? There's a filter that's placed on the computer. It prevents viruses from entering and taking over. When it comes to our heating systems at home, we notice that our heating systems, they have filters in order to prevent what? Dust and allergens, or to remove dust and allergens. When it comes to our pools at home, we notice that in each and every pool there's a filter. And the reason behind this is to keep the water clean. The filtration system in a pool keeps the water clean. It keeps the dirt outside of the water, outside of the pool. Right? When it comes to our cars, we notice that there are various filters. There's air filters, there's oil filters. And so various aspects of our lives, there are these filters that are installed in order to keep this system clean. It's important for us as individuals to also install filters when it comes to our bodies and our minds and our souls. So this process, this wholesome process of detoxifying our minds and our bodies and our souls is an active process. It's one in which we are required to place these filters on our minds and on our hearts and souls and on our bodies in order to purify ourselves. And essentially, this process is made up of three steps. There are three essential steps in order to purify our minds, our bodies, and our souls. The first process, or the first step, is to identify the harmful substances and their sources. We have to be able to identify, to be aware, to recognize what are those things that are harmful, not just to our bodies, but to our minds and our souls. We have to be able to recognize them. We have to be able to identify them, and we have to be able to identify what their sources are. When we come to the world that we live in, we notice that toxic substances can enter into our systems through a number of ways. One of the ways that toxic and harmful substances enters into our systems is through, for instance, the entertainment that we watch, the movies and the TV shows, right? Through TV, through movies, Hollywood is able to slowly but surely send certain toxic messages, and they enter into our minds and they enter into our hearts, and they come through certain TV shows, certain movies, right? Even when it comes to things that we consider to be innocent, right? Even when it comes to cartoon shows, for instance, those which are directed towards the children. If you watch some of these shows, the next time your children are watching some of these cartoon shows, if you pay extra attention, you'll notice that not all of these cartoon shows or these shows that are dedicated for children are absolutely innocent. That there are certain messages, harmful messages, that the children, they see and they hear through watching these shows, right? So through TV, through movies, there are certain harmful and toxic elements that enter into our minds and into our hearts. When it comes to the internet and especially social media, we'll notice that the internet is a very powerful tool. It's a very powerful tool, and it's something that is pervasive. It's prevalent in the vast majority of people's lives. I read a statistic that suggested that approximately half of the world's population, 3 billion individuals, or at least 3 billion individuals, they have access to the internet and they use the internet. It's very prevalent. It's a prevalent form, technology that is used by young and old in various parts of the world. And especially when it comes to social media. When it comes to social media, we have to identify those things that are harmful to us and the harmful to our minds and our souls and spirits, and especially when it comes to the younger generation and to our youth and to our children. Because what ends up happening sometimes is that we understand, we realize that social media is the most important or the most significant or the most powerful way of communicating. Social media has revolutionized the way in which we communicate with one another, right? A lot of things that we weren't able to do in the past, we're able to do now. Much of the news right now, much of the news that we receive and the ideas that we exchange, they go through social media. Many times, in fact, social media has become a much more effective tool for communication, more than any other form of media. When certain events happen, the first thing that you'll see them is through social media, being communicated through social media. If you remember the tragic incident that happened a while back, the murder of those three young students in North Carolina, social media was able to propagate this message and communicate the message and this event and the events surrounding this event before mainstream media came out, before mainstream media, hours before they even mentioned this topic was already trending on social media. So it's a very powerful tool. Yet, it is not a neutral tool. It's important that we realize that there is also a risk of harmful and toxic substances entering into our hearts and our minds through the use of social media. This is one. Another avenue is when it comes to our bodies. We notice that harmful toxins or substances can enter into our bodies depending on the type of food and the type of drink that we consume. It's important for us to identify, to realize, to recognize much of the food today, although there's been a certain trend in general towards, healthier food, towards removing some of these artificial flavors and substances in certain foods. Yet in general, we'll notice that the vast majority of the population, they're okay with consuming some of these, these processed foods or some of these artificial flavors and ingredients that are placed into the food, and some of them can have harmful effects. Right. And so it's important for us to be able to identify these harmful effects. When it comes to our minds, protecting our minds from these harmful substances, it's important that we recognize the significance of avoiding dwelling on negative things. Some individuals, unfortunately, right, they experience certain events in their lives, certain difficult events in their lives, and they end up dwelling on these events. They're constantly thinking about them over and over again. They lose a loved one, and it impacts them to a degree that they're always thinking about this issue. They're always thinking about it, and they're thinking about it from a negative point of view, right? They may lose a job, they may go through a certain challenge or a test in their lives, and they're always thinking about this. Or in fact, sometimes it gets to a greater degree where, you know, because they're dwelling on negative issues, that they begin to imagine things in a negative light. Something comes up, and automatically they come up with various negative scenarios. They're already playing the events, you know, in negative scenarios, and they're already predicting the future. When the event is small, they've already expanded it and they've made it into something huge. And this is problematic. This really affects our psyche. It really affects our mind. Or sometimes being overly critical. To be critical is important. We have to ask. We should not have blind faith. We should not accept everything just at face value, without questioning, without asking. But on the other hand, there are those who are overly critical. Overly critical. Where they have to criticize everything. And this is problematic. It causes problems for our psyche and for our mind. Or when it comes to certain issues such as anger or jealousy. It's important for us to identify those things that are harmful to us and their sources. And thus, we have to be able to live our lives consciously and mindfully. We have to be mindful. We have to be mindful of our thoughts. We have to be mindful of the things that we say. We have to be mindful of the things that we do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Every human being, you know, we grow up, our parents, one of the very first things that they teach, you know, children, parents, is what? Is that you have two angels, one sitting on your right shoulder and another sitting on your left shoulder. And they do what? What's the, you know, what's the process? What is the reason why they're there? They are there to record our actions, both the good actions and, God forbid, the evil action. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Not an utterance, a sound is made except that this sound is recorded, whether it's good or bad. So we have to be mindful. We have to be mindful of the things that we say, the things that we do. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادِ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْؤُولًا. Verily the hearing, السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ, the eyes, وَالْفُؤَادِ, the heart or the mind, all of these are what? Are held accountable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us, will ask us, how did you use these eyes? Did you look at things that were permitted, or did you, God forbid, look at things that were not permitted? We have to be mindful. As an example, once again, if we go back to the case of social media, we'll notice that every few days, every few months, there's a new company that comes up, right? A new social media or social networking company. And usually the trend is that once something new comes up, everyone sort of shifts. You know, they go and they adopt this, you know, they open an account and they start to, you know, and some of these, they're problematic. Sometimes you yourself might not be posting something that is immoral or wrong, but spending hours and hours going through various people's profiles and their posts and what they've done, there's a great chance that you're going to come across, you're going to see something that you shouldn't see, or hear something that you shouldn't hear. So we have to be very mindful. We have to be very mindful. Or spending hours surfing on the internet, or watching any movie that comes, you know, onto the big screen, there's a chance that some of these movies, they will have messages that we should not be seeing, we should not be hearing. So this is number one. It's important for us to identify the harmful substances and their sources. Number two, it's important for us to move, after identifying what is harmful, to move to removing this. It's not just important for me to know that, you know, listening to certain types of music is haram and bad for me, but it's important for me to remove this from my life. The next step is to remove these harmful substances. Some things in our lives, they just need to go. They're like cancerous tumors. God forbid, if there is a tumor that grows in a person's body, a cancerous tumor, you go to the doctor, The doctor tells you that you have a cancerous tumor. What's the next step? The next step is to remove this tumor, not to keep it, right? And it's important for us that when we identify those things that are harmful in our lives, that the next step is to remove them, to set up boundaries, to put up guardrails, to draw red lines, to remove stumbling blocks, to make sure that we're removing those harmful substances, whether they are harmful to our minds or harmful to our bodies or harmful to our souls and spirits, that we remove them from our lives. Sometimes this could be the friends that we keep or the company that we keep. Some friends, they're not the best of friends. Yes, they might portray themselves to be good friends. They'll listen to you. If you need financial assistance, they'll help you. You know, they'll invite you to their house. They'll, you know, invite you for dinner. But this is not what friendship is about. Friendship, essentially, according to the Quran, according to our tradition, according to the Holy Prophet and the Imams, real friendship is when you care about another person's well-being, their spiritual well-being, their physical well-being, their intellectual well-being, when you care about that person, not just their financial or physical well-being. And so it's important. Sometimes it is the friends that we have, the company that we keep, that destroys us. So it's important to move in the direction where we remove these stumbling blocks, or to avoid certain scenarios or certain situations where we risk falling into immorality or sin. When we come to the Quran, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a very beautiful verse. We know that one of the sins, one of the big sins in Islam is adultery, zina. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about zina in the Quran, Allah says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Do not come close, do not approach adultery. Allah doesn't say, don't commit adultery, because everyone knows you're not supposed to commit adultery. Allah says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Do not come close to adultery. Don't put yourself in a situation whereby you risk falling into this act. Adultery doesn't just happen over a few seconds. No, there are certain events, there are scenarios that may lead to this. And the same goes for other forms of immorality. It's important for us to avoid those situations that we risk falling into sin, falling into immorality. This is number two. And finally, number three is to replace. It's important for us to identify and to remove the harmful substances and environment in our lives, but it's also more complete when we replace the don'ts with do's. When we come to certain experts, physicians and health experts, they tell us that if you're trying to lose weight, for instance, if you're trying to lose weight, one of the common misconceptions or one of the common things that occurs is that people who are trying to lose weight, they decide that they're not going to eat. They're going to avoid eating lunch or avoid eating dinner altogether. Whereas experts say a better way to lose weight is what? Is by replacing the unhealthy foods with something healthy. Not to forego eating altogether, to have your three meals a day, but to make sure that you're removing unhealthy things from your meals and replacing them with things that are healthy. This is a more complete way in maintaining your health. And the same goes for other things, even when it comes to smoking. For those who smoke and who are trying to avoid or quit smoking, many experts say that it's important that not only do they quit smoking, but they try to replace this habit with something that is good. Otherwise, if we don't replace the don'ts with do's, if we don't replace these harmful habits or substances with something that is positive, what ends up happening is that we risk that these harmful substances, they come back, and they come back with a vengeance. They come back even worse. And so it's important for us to replace those things that are harmful in our lives with things that are positive, with things that are good for us. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the capacity to constantly purify our hearts, our minds, and our souls, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wal asr. Inna al-insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihati wa tawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bil sabr. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونسبحه على آلائه ونعمائه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل على محمد اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وصلي اللهم وسلم على أوصيائه وخلفائه وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وعلى علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين وعلى سبطي نبي الرحمة وإمامي الهدى الحسن والحسين سيدي شباب أهل الجنة وعلى أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي عجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه عباد الله أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل ولزوم أمره قال الله تعالى في محكم كتابه الكريم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم من قتل نفسا بغير نفس أو فساد في الأرض فكأنما قتل الناس جميعا آمنا بالله صدق الله العلي العظيم. A growing problem today is the growth and the appeal of violent extremism. It's a problem that is growing on a daily basis. It's a problem that is not just affecting certain parts of the world, certain nations and certain countries, but is affecting the entire world and has the potential to be destructive on a global scale. Violent extremism is a problem that is becoming serious for everyone. Before, it was serious only for those nations or only for those groups who were directly involved. Today, we notice that violent extremism, that its appeal is growing. That there are many, although within the Muslim world, there are thousands of individuals who are joining these violent movements, these terrorist movements, that it is not exclusive only to individuals who are joining from Muslim nations, but there are many others from across the world who are joining these movements. And in particular, it is affecting the younger generation. We are hearing more often that young individuals, men and women, boys and girls in their teens, 14, 15, 16 years old, they're leaving their families, they're leaving their countries, their nations, places where they were born and they were raised, in order to join movements like Daesh, the so-called Islamic State. And we hear this on the news constantly. Just a few days ago, the story of three British teens, females, 14, 15, 16 years old, who left their families. They were born and raised in Britain. They left their families, and they are believed to have gone to Syria in order to join Daesh. And we hear very often. And so it's a serious problem. And it's a serious problem because these young people who are joining these movements are not necessarily people who are poor or people who, you know, they're not integrated into, you know, Western or mainstream culture, for instance. No. In fact, in the case of these young girls, we're told that they were very well integrated into society, that they were good students, that even they did not necessarily express symbols of religious observance. In the case of hijab, none of them wore hijab. You know, they did not have that sense of observance to certain religious rites. They were integrated in society, they were known. Yet, they still decided to leave and to join these extremist groups. And so it's a serious problem. It's a problem for everyone. And it's important, brothers and sisters, that we understand that this issue is one that affects everyone in the community. It's no longer a matter that can be considered irrelevant. It doesn't have to do with me and my family and my friends. This is a problem on the other side of the world. They have to deal with it. Or, worst case scenario, my government deals with it. The military deals with it. It doesn't have anything to do with me. But this is not the case. It is very relevant. And it is very serious. And it's important for us as a community, brothers and sisters, to think about how serious this issue is. And as a community, to come together and to join forces in order to combat this disease. It's important for us. Imams, leaders, activists, parents, friends, siblings, mentors, all have to be able to come together in order to work together and to prevent the spread of violent extremism. And God forbid, if we see that it's creeping into the community, that we intervene and we put a stop to it. It's a serious problem, brothers and sisters. Everyone has to be involved. It's not just a matter that is discussed, you know, at summits, you know, or between politicians or officials or activists. It has to be at the forefront of our discussions at the mosques and at the Islamic centers and our Islamic schools and at the dinner tables at home. It's not something that we can sort of forego, bypass. Parents need to speak to their children. Family members need to speak to one another about the significance of this issue, about why this issue is significant. These discussions, they must be had. We cannot bypass them. We cannot dismiss them. And the message that we have to put out and that everyone has to understand is that extremism is a weakness, it's not a strength. You see, when you come to the propaganda of these extremists, they try to portray this violent extremism as a sort of strength, right? They're instilling terror in the hearts of people. They're making nations afraid, people afraid. And so they portray it as a strength, where in reality it's in fact absolutely weak. It's at the peak of weakness. When we come to our tradition tells us that the one who is strong is not the one who can subdue others by force, through physical force. That's not the strong person. The strong person is the one who's able to subdue himself, to control his lower desires, his anger, his intolerance, his hatred. This is the strong person. This is what our religion tells us. This is what our tradition teaches us. And so when we come to the Quran, for instance, the Quran tells us what? The Quran says, idfa' billati hiya ahsan. See, the Quran realizes that there will be certain scenarios where you will be at odds with others. There will be conflicts that will arise. Some of the conflicts are small, some of them are big. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a general principle in the Quran on how to deal with these conflicts. Allah says, idfa', repel. Idfa' billati hiya ahsan. Repel evil with that which is what? With that which is better. ادفع بالتي هي أحسن. This is a general principle, a rule that the Qur'an gives us in countering that which is considered evil, that which is considered wrong. This is a general principle. When we come to our communities, when we come to this message that we should relay to our communities and our families and friends, we have to be able to counter this narrative of violent extremism. We have to counter this idea that violent extremism is the way to go. When you go to the reasons why some of these young people are joining this movement, there are, you know, experts, you know, and those who have analyzed these issues, they've come up with various reasons. One of the issues that they come up is that these young people are at a time where they are forming their identities. So they're vulnerable. They're able to easily be recruited because it's at a time where they are forming their identities. As a community, we have to make sure that we are putting all of our skills, everything that we have, into a process of identity formation that is positive. That is positive. One that is built on appreciation. One that is built on love. One that is built on tolerance. One that is built on mercy. One that is built on service. When we come to our tradition, this is what our tradition tells us. Our tradition tells us that those who are successful are those who take care of others. In the famous tradition by the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he says, me and the one who takes care of orphans are like this in heaven. Like this in heaven. Together. You want to be the Prophet's neighbor? You want to be the closest to the Prophet? Go and take care of an orphan. Sponsor an orphan. When it comes to the rights of our neighbors, the Prophet, on his deathbed, he teaches us, he tells us about the significance of taking care of our neighbors, to the point where the companions, some of them, they say that the Prophet, he emphasized so much on taking care of neighbors that we thought that their position would be that they would inherit from us. This is how close they are. Take care of your neighbors. Neighbors who are in need. Take care of the poor. Take care of the sick. Community service. This is what our religion teaches us. This is the type of identity that we have to have. When it comes to interfaith and intrafaith dialogue and understanding, this is what our religion teaches us. The Prophet, peace be upon him, who is the greatest representative of God, who some of these individuals, they claim that they are following in his footsteps. The Prophet himself, when non-Muslims, they would come, he would receive them warmly. He would dialogue with them. He would speak to them. قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ The Prophet, he tells the people of the book, come together so that we recognize and we work based on our commonalities, what we have in common with one another. And you hear Daesh, they go and they capture over 200 Christians. And the other day, they behead Christians. Left and right. Is this the akhlaq of the Prophet? Is this what the duty, the identity of the Prophet and the identity of a true Muslim is? When it comes to education, brothers and sisters, education is important. It's very important. Many of these kids, you know, they're confused. They're told that it's your religious duty. It's your religious duty to come and to counter, to fight, to kill, to behead. It's your religious duty. Doesn't the Quran tells us, ادعو إلى سبيل ربك. ادعو, call, إلى سبيل ربك, to the way of your Lord. دعوة. دعوة means calling people to God. It means your religious duty, basically. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ادعو إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة, with wisdom, والموعظة الحسنة, with good advice, وجادلهم بالتي هي
أحسن.
Argue with them, debate, even when you debate with them in a better fashion, in a more positive fashion. This is what our teachings, they tell us. And so it's important for us that we counter this message, that we counter this message, that we realize and we teach our children and families and friends that first of all, intolerance, hatred, animosity, extremism, violence is weakness, it's not strength. And number two, we talk about what it really means to be a Muslim. What it really means to be a good Muslim, one that is observant of his or her religious duties. It is only when we are a community that is united against this cancer, this disease of extremism, that we're able to overcome it and to protect ourselves and to protect our communities. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, to protect us, to protect our families, to protect our communities. We've been asked to pray for some who are in need of prayers. We pray for those who are sick. We pray for those who are ill. Let us recite Amman Yujib all together for their safety, for the safety of everyone, Muslims and non-Muslims, friends, neighbors, relatives, all of those. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring peace and justice to the world, to hasten the reappearance of our Imam, and to give us the capacity to be agents of positive change in our lives and in the lives of others. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Amman yujibu al-muttarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu al-su'. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء 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 يا الله وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين.